just had to tell Caleb I had to compose myself after that. There's power in the name of Jesus. And that's what this is all about, what we've been doing for the past 8 weeks now. That's, speaking Jesus into people's lives, inviting people to come and see Jesus for themselves in our lives, in our words, and what we do. Because I'm a firm believer that if you can introduce someone to Jesus, he does the work. Once they fall in love with him, their lives are changed forever. That's all it takes. You experience the grace and the power and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ, and they can't resist that. And I know that sounds a little Calvinistic, and y'all know I'm not a Calvinist, but it's the reality. When you encounter Jesus Christ in a personal way, you cannot leave unchanged. And so when we're talking about inviting people into a relationship with us so that we can introduce them to Jesus, it's really quite simple. Yes, people are going to resist that, but at the end of the day, if they encounter Christ, then we're going to have an opportunity to lead them into a relationship with him. We started with come and see, inviting people to come and see Jesus and the ways that we do that. We've spent 5 weeks now in the second chair, the invitation to follow me. When someone accepts Christ and then makes a decision to follow him, they move into chair two. And we've looked at the five ways. Now, we've got the gang all here this morning. I recognize that some of you, this may be your first time, so I want to make sure you know who we are. This isn't just a random band of guys that I pulled off the street, although that would be interesting too, right? I am Pastor Allen. I am the lead pastor here at Wall Highway. This is Pastor Caleb Hecox. He is our pastor of students, discipleship, and missions. This is Pastor Jim Graham. He is pastor of children, education, and administration here. And this is Roger Greenwalt. And I did call you by your right name this time. We gave Caleb a little grief about that last week. He is our worship pastor here at Wall Highway. And I thought it would be good. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we've all been working on this for quite some time. And I thought it would be good for you guys to hear from all of us. We looked at, for 5 weeks, at the five different ways we grow as we follow Jesus. We talked about feeding, what that means. Feeding on the Word of God, feeding on Jesus, through prayer, fasting, through fellowship, and through giving, but feeding on the Word of God and what that means. We talked about our identity in Christ. We receive a new identity when he changes our lives. And discovering that, Caleb led us through some identity markers in the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians. We talked about our walk, growing in our walk with Christ, and spending time with God and what it looks like to walk as Jesus walked. We talked about our talk and how our talk should honor God in sharing the gospel in prayer, but everything that we do, we should never speak in a way that would hinder our ability to share the gospel, that would hurt our witness. And we talked last week about living a clean lifestyle, growing in cleanliness, what that means. So you guys, which of these five spoke to you or impacted you as you studied this and as we've gone through this? Jim, what about you?
Okay, so yeah, I get to go first.
I choose you first. Yeah, we pulled Jim out of the children's building to come in here.
I don't know how I got into the inner circle. I'm supposed to be on the edge anyway.
Yes.
So just in thinking about the sermon series and just in our walk in general, okay, for years, okay, I'm 60, I'll admit that now, okay, so I probably had more tread on my feet then than some of us maybe, but as I'm thinking back and looking at how we go and approach God, I come from a private education background as well and taught in a private education school, and as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about a Becca book that some of you may be familiar with. And it's called The Secret in the Maple Tree. And it was about a little girl named Matilda who would go up in her, climb up in her tree that was on their farm, and she would talk to God. But when she went and talked to God, she would have like this grumbling spirit. She would be like talking about all the things that was like going around and the things that she was having to now go through and what she was having to do. And then she started realizing, God started convicting her that, hey, her spirit was one of those that she was coming before God, complaining to God about everything else that everything was happening in her life was their fault. And she finally came to a point in her life that she realized, hey, I needed to come to God with a grateful heart. And lots of times, too, we have to think about it. And a lot of people will know this if you're around me. I say microwave minute people. All right. When we go to God, we really sometimes feel like in 30 seconds, I'm going to have the answer to my prayer. And it's got we've got to remember that God doesn't work that way. Now, it's a blessing if we've prayed about something in the very beginning of the morning and we see that prayer answered before the end of the day. That's wonderful. But we also have to remember, too, that when we go, it's God's timeline and it is His will. And many times, I mean, like, okay, being 60 now, there were things that I started praying for like years ago, 16, in my 20s, that I'm seeing things that are being answered only by little pieces, okay? And it's not by my doing, but it's by God's doing. And then whether or not we as God's chosen people were faithful to pray for somebody or something for that many years. Yeah. And do we put in the time talking to God?
Yeah, and certainly prayer is one of those, one of the ways that we talk, one of the aspects of our talk, and that's an important point, how we approach God in our heart. Well, Roger, what about you?
The most significant thing in my life, in my spiritual walk, learning to walk with God, is about 45 years ago, I had a man teach me how to spend daily time, have a daily date with God. Spend 10, 20 minutes reading a few scriptures and then thinking about it, meditating on them, and then asking three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? And how does this apply to my life? As I read those few scriptures over and over, and then not just try to get a new truth, but something that's even much more than that. It's not just looking for a new truth or a new belief or a new action to do, but it was learning to enjoy the presence of God. Just sitting in His presence. Again, it's a date with God. It's not a theological expedition or just a Bible study to learn new things. It's to know God. And that has made a difference as a practice in my life.
Yeah, I mean, spending time with the Lord each day is definitely a vital aspect of our walk with Christ and walking like Jesus. He did that and set the example for us. Caleb?
Yeah, for me, the one that resonates the most out of those five is feeding. For several reasons. For one, it's by feeding on God's word that we learn the other four categories of how we grow. We learn our identity and how to walk, talk, and clean ourselves. And we've talked about that, but even beyond that, I found that the more time I spend in this, this is a treasure that is endless. And it doesn't compare to any other book. Many of you know that I'm a Lord of the Rings nerd. I've read Lord of the Rings probably four or five times in my life, and I gain new insights and stuff from it, but it doesn't even come close to comparing with this. I've probably read through this 20 different times in my life, and am able to gain new insight in a way that no other book, no other thing can come close to comparing with. The Bible is often described as a well that doesn't run dry, and that has definitely proved true in my life. Passages of scripture that I've memorized, had memorized since a boy doing Awanas, that I will study just now and see things in it that I've never seen before, and God will speak to me through it in a way that He's never spoken to me before, and I'm just like, wow, that's incredible. This is a treasure that is unlike any other treasure we have. And so feeding on the Word of God is the biggest one that really resonates with me.
Yeah, I think for me, identity is still, one of the things that just rings true and speaks to me. for a lot of years. I mean, even to this day, you know, I struggled with, you know, self-esteem and a lack of self-confidence, and just, you know, knowing who I am in Christ and what He's made me versus what I think about myself or what others think about myself. I tend to be a people pleaser, and that's a tough thing, a tough trait to have if you're in leadership, because you can't please everybody. You'll never please everybody. And so just being secure in who Jesus says that I am and who He's making me to be, I think, is important. Well, so now we move to chair three, finally, after 5 weeks. And can I just take a second? I feel like I got my back turned to you. That's dangerous. I need to shift a little bit. Of all the people on stage, I don't know if I should have my back to the youth pastor. I don't know. But can I just take a second and recognize our decoration team for setting this up? Angela Crawford, is Angela in here? She may be with our children. All right, she's in the children's. Kylie Turner is back here. Y'all can turn around. I know she's loving that I'm drawing attention to her. And Ann White is right here. Did I catch everybody? That's everybody, right? Y'all have done a fantastic job and just giving a visual representation. And today we're going to talk about fishing for people. And you see there the different things that represent that. And there's so many great analogies drawn between actually fishing and fishing for people. And so what we want to do over the next few minutes is just discuss what that really means. And we're going to look at a few scriptures just kind of discuss amongst us. But in the process of doing that, we're going to see what this looks like, what fishing for people really means and what it looks like. I'm going to start, and feel free, hopefully you have a copy of God's Word. It'll be on the screen as well. We're going to look at three different passages. We'll start in Mark chapter 1. You can turn there if you'd like. I'm going to read that, verses 16 through 17. Beginning in verse 16, as He, Jesus, passed alongside the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. "Follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fish for people." So at this point, you know, most believe that these four guys, as well as others, it's Simon and Andrew are mentioned here, but James and John are also a part of this call. And most believe that they've spent months at least with Jesus, and this is Jesus. They have made a decision to follow Jesus, but now He's calling them to a different level of serving, to where they're actually going to engage with Him in ministry, and He's going to teach them. And so, you know, at this point, this is the person moving from chair two to chair three, where they are shifting and taking on more responsibility, shifting their focus to others. So what specifically, Jim, call on you again. You regret being closest to me now, probably.
I do.
what is Jesus specifically asking them to do here when He says, "Follow me and I'll make you fish for people"?
Well, you know, when we hear that and we say, "Okay, follow me," and it's kind of like, "Hey, where are you going to take me?" You know, I deal with safety, so it's like, you want me to go where you want me to go?
Well, yeah.
You know, I set everything up. But I'm also a detail person. So it's like, you know, I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to be asked to do? Okay, you know, how many of you are detailed, structured people, and you have to have your lists? Okay, got to have a list. What all am I going to do? I think about all that. But then I also go back into it. It's like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that or not. It's kind of like, I don't know if I want to do that, okay? But having grown up in ministry, and I was always put into a spot to do something, for me it was a little bit easier, but I still have those times where it's like there's something new that comes along in following me. We're going to do this. It's kind of like, I don't know. This is not my jam on Sunday morning. I'm normally with the kids, okay? All right? So it's like sometimes you have to ask yourself, hey, am I willing to put my faith in God and really follow Him and trust Him? Because we really don't know what this life, a Christian life, is going to be calling you to do, but just being faithful and obeying when you do that.
Yeah, I think there's, it's very clear. I mean, Jesus is calling them out of their comfort zone. I mean, this is to a different level. You know, come and see, you know, checking out who Jesus is. Follow me. Yes, I believe you are who you say you are, Jesus. I'm inviting you to be Lord of my life, and I'm making a commitment to follow you. But now we're taking another step. And what Jesus is saying here is that, hey, I'm now inviting you to be a part of my team, to where we are going to go and reach others. I'm going to teach you how to reproduce yourself, and ultimately you are going to teach others the same. This is the first step in them leading others, reproducing themselves, leading others to be followers of Christ. This is someone who is a worker, who is in the process or actively serving. They are sort of like an apprentice. They're in training, and they are learning how to minister. They are learning how to serve. And me, as someone who's discipling, I am training them, okay? And this is what Jesus is inviting them to do, is I'm going to teach you, he's saying, how to do this. And one of the most critical lessons that we learn in chair 3 is a new way of living in the Spirit. What do you think that means, Roger?
Living in the Spirit, as far as doing ministry and working with other people, requires us to believe that God is already at work. He's not just waiting on us.
Yeah.
He has started the work. He's already in it, and he's calling us to join him. That way, we begin to work in his power, his plan. We have to, in order to do this, we have to learn to listen and begin the practice of listening for his voice, learning to distinguish what impressions are from him. And by the way, this is where it's really important to spend time with God daily.
That's right.
Because that's when we get to know him on a personal level. We learn to hear when he is speaking to us and distinguish his voice from everything else. Mm-hmm. And when we hear God clearly, we will, in order to minister in the Spirit, we must absolutely depend on his power, not our abilities, not our strengths. This is how we live in the Spirit and minister in the Spirit.
Yeah, and you see this process, right, where, you know, I'm making a decision to follow Jesus, and then Jesus is fully engaged, especially with these four guys, you know, James and John and Simon, who will become Peter, and Andrew. And then ultimately, even more so with the three, Peter, James, and John. But he is sort of carrying, doing the heavy lifting here. But he's saying, guys, I'm gonna show you how to do this, and then you're gonna do this, but you're gonna do it with my strength. Mm-hmm. And that's such an important point. If we don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus, if we are not to a point to where we can recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit as we're going and serving and doing, walking with Jesus daily. If we haven't learned to depend on the Holy Spirit, we're never going to be fully functional ministers of the gospel. And I'm not just talking about, you know, the four of us who are vocational ministers. We are all ministers of the gospel. And so, you know, living in the Spirit, dependent on the Spirit, is so vitally important to that. But it's very clear here that Jesus is inviting these guys to a different level. It's time to take it up a notch, essentially, is what he's saying. And I'm going to train you to do what I do. My power, my strength, but Jesus said, I'm going to train you to do what I'm doing. And so we see this invitation that, by the way, is available to all of us. And then we see another example in Scripture in Luke chapter 10. You can turn there. In Luke chapter 10, we see Jesus, the first three verses, sending out the 72 to do exactly what he's just invited James and John, Peter and Andrew to do, to fish for people. So let's look at those three verses. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now go, I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves." It's interesting instructions there. Interesting few verses. Jesus is sending out these 72. This is, of course, different from Jesus sending out the 12 in Matthew 10 and Luke chapter 9. Now he's sending out 72 to minister in his name, to proclaim the name of Jesus, and to invite people to come and see. And this is, you know, Jesus is, you know, that in a nutshell, I guess, is what he's doing. But Caleb, can you elaborate on that a little bit and just kind of share what really is Jesus inviting these guys to do here, or instructing these 72 to do?
Yeah, there's a ton packed into these three verses. And when I think about it, I think about what Paul says when he calls us ambassadors of Christ. I think this is a picture of what Paul is talking about when he is sending out these 72 and sending every follower of Jesus out. These are people that Jesus is sending out to with a commission to represent who Jesus is and to proclaim who Jesus is to the people that he's getting ready to come and visit. And that is exactly what we're called to do. As ambassadors of Jesus, we are sent to prepare people for Jesus, first coming into their life so that they can have a personal, individual encounter with Jesus and be saved from their sins. But also, even beyond that, so that they can be prepared for his second coming, that when Jesus breaks through the clouds and comes, they are ready and prepared on that day. And so just as Jesus is sending them out, he sends us out as well as ambassadors to represent him before he comes to visit them and make an impact upon their life.
Yeah, and like as with every passage of Scripture, we need to look at what it says, what was communicated to the original group of people, what Jesus was saying to these 72. But then we need to think about how does it apply to our lives? And there's a very clear application that you just pointed out, and that's that just as Jesus was calling these guys, instructing these 72 to be his ambassadors, his representatives, he's asking, commanding that we do the same. If we claim to be followers of Christ, then we are his ambassadors. We go out into the world claiming the name of Jesus. So how we live, how we speak, how we walk, whether or not we're living a clean lifestyle, all of those five ways we're growing is how we represent Jesus through our words, our deeds, our actions, everything that we do, everything that we say. But, you know, part of what makes these three verses interesting is, you know, there are times in Scripture, I'll be honest with you guys, there are times in Scripture where I'm reading and it sounds like, sure does sound like Jesus is almost trying to talk people out of following him, right? I mean, you know, take up your cross daily. You know, essentially you're going to die every day, right? I mean, there's a lot more to that, but count the cost. I mean, and this is one of those times which we should be thankful where he's saying, you know, there's some very clear difficulties with what I'm asking you to do, right? And that's part of what makes these verses interesting to me. And this part we need to pay close attention to. There's some challenges they faced, right? Jim, what do you think about that?
Yeah, so, okay, list maker again. Okay, you hear this task, okay, that needs to be done. And it's kind of like, okay, I'm the who, what, when, where, why. Okay, I get all of those things in my mind and what I'm thinking about because it was going to be a big amount of work to go out and do that. It was going to be a challenge. And what we do every day as we're trying to go out and reach people, there's an amount of work that has to be done in order to be able to go do it. But then it's remembering the responsibility that we have to go and do that, okay? So we do have to kind of get prepared. When we think about some things that we do in outreach, like Vacation Bible School, or we do community egg hunts that we've done in the past, different ways that we're reaching out, there is a certain amount of work that's got to be done in order to be able to reach people. But then we also have to remember, too, while we're trying to do all of these things, hey, are we praying for the people to come in and join us? You know, I know y'all hear me as the volunteer recruiter trying to get people to come in to live with the kids, but it is a responsibility that has to be done so that our parents, our families can come in and actually be able to worship. We need workers, okay? We need workers to be able to go out. We need people to come in and teach, and then when they're given assignments to be able to go out to share the gospel with others, we've got those people there. So it's remembering to continue to pray as well.
Yeah, don't skip that verse. That it's easy to read right over that, right? That Jesus is very clear here to these 72. I'm sending you to do a difficult task, and the field is vast, the harvest is plenty. There's a lot of people out there that need to know me, Jesus is saying. And so don't skip that verse. Make sure that you are praying for others to join in the work. I would think we would get a hearty amen from anybody on our nominating team, right? But no, maybe the reason it's sometimes difficult to find children's workers, student workers, worship, although our worship team is fantastic, but I know sometimes it's hard to find those to serve on different committees and ministry teams. Maybe one of the reasons that job is so challenging is that those of us who are serving, we're skipping that verse. We're not praying actively, regularly, for others to join in the work that Jesus is inviting these four guys and all of us to fish for people. Roger, what do you think?
The work is not just huge, but it's also dangerous work that he calls us to. He says, I send you out as lambs among the wolves. I thought, I wouldn't want Jesus as my football coach.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sending you out on the field. They're bigger than you. They're faster than you. They smashed eight people that got hurt on the last team they played. But go out there, guys.
You know, yeah, thinking, get after it.
Jesus, yeah. Why would you say these words to the people that you're sending out? He's not trying to instill fear. He's trying to instill dependence on him. He knows that we can't do it in our power. We can't do it in our own abilities. We must rely on Jesus' power. We have to rely on his plan. We need to listen and watch for his guidance and let the dangers drive us to dependence on him. That's what he's desiring.
Yeah, there's so many aspects of our faith, and I think you guys would agree, there's so many aspects of our faith where we step out and we don't know what's next, right? God's calling us to an area of service, and even within that area of service, there are so many steps of faith that we have to take where we don't exactly know how it's all going to work out. But, there's so many aspects of our faith that are perfectly rational and well-informed. And yeah, I agree with you. The first reading of this, you're like, somebody needs to be an encourager here, and Jesus isn't saying words that seem encouraging. Mm-hmm. But no, when I really think about it, I appreciate the fact. I mean, he's laying it out there very clearly. This is a big job, and this is a dangerous job. You're going to face persecution. You're going to face difficulties, trials. But you're also absolutely right in that what he's trying to teach these that he is inviting to fish for people is that we cannot do this on our own. If we try to do it in our own strength, we're gonna fail. We will give up before we ever really get started. So it goes back to living in the Spirit. It's interesting that that ties in because if we aren't living in the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, then we won't be able to face the dangers and the difficulty.
And we'll get to this next week, but it really connects to John 15, where Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Yeah. So he's reinstilling that dependence that you can't accomplish this apart from living in me.
Yeah, I mean, you can't grow in any of the five ways. You can't serve in any capacity, and you can't continually fish for people because, again, it's a difficult job, I would never try to put a number on it, but you can share Jesus with 10 people and then finally get somebody who says, yeah, I'll come check him out. And they may not have even made a decision yet to follow Jesus. Point being, there's going to be a lot of people who say no, 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 no. And if we're not living in dependence and taking our satisfaction and drawing our self-worth, our identity from Jesus, we're going to get discouraged and give up. There is this progression I think we see through this process when someone moves into chair three. Again, I'll use the word apprenticeship. This person is learning and growing, and God's design, Jesus' design, the way he modeled it here is that he's going to use those of us who are a little further along in the faith to teach that apprentice, to teach that person, sharing life with them and teaching them by example and by instruction how to fish for people, how to minister in the name of Jesus. And this just speaks, and what this is in chair three is just God's overall plan for how he chooses to reach people. And think about that. His plan is to use us, imperfect human beings, stubborn at times, weak in many areas. He uses us to go and invite people to come and see Jesus, to share the gospel, the life-changing gospel with those who are lost. In Romans chapter 10, you can turn there. These are the last verses we'll look at this morning. In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17, it really is a good summary of what we're talking about here. God's plan to use his followers to fish for people. Verse 14, how then can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? Paul is saying, and how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. But not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Is there going to be some that don't believe? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard through the message about Christ. So in order for people to believe, God could do it without us, but this is God's plan here. In order for people to believe in Jesus, they have to hear the message of Jesus, is what Paul's saying here. So what is Paul, an interesting phrase here, how beautiful are the feet of people who bring the good news. What is Paul saying when he's saying that the feet of the messenger are beautiful?
Yeah, he's quoting from Isaiah here, and in that time frame, the feet of a messenger were akin to somebody coming back from the battlefield and reporting to the city, reporting to the king, the news of what happened on the battlefield. Was it victorious? Was it defeat? What exactly happened? And a lot of times the feet of the person who brought that, it was received with much anticipation. And Paul is kind of liking, akin to that with the gospel, of it's about a message being brought by a messenger. And the news of the gospel is one that's being proclaimed about the victory that has been accomplished through Jesus Christ, that we have become victorious, and we have the opportunity to experience victory through what Jesus has accomplished on our behalf. So this messenger of Jesus announces this good news of the gospel to any who will hear it. He proclaims that news to them. And we see kind of reflected later on in this passage that some will receive that good news, and some will choose not to receive that
good
news.
And he alludes to it even in those verses.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so it goes to show that our responsibility is to be that of the messenger. We are supposed to have the beautiful feet who run and proclaim the good news of the victory of Jesus Christ to anyone who will listen. God is the one who is responsible for changing their hearts. We fish for people, God catches them. You think about fishing. I'm not a fishing expert by any means, but it's my responsibility when I'm trying to catch a fish to cast a line in the water. It's not my responsibility to make the fish bite the lure or anything. It's my responsibility to put the line out there and give them the opportunity to make it appealing, make it alluring to them. And the same is true with when we share the good news. It's not our responsibility to make people submit and turn their lives over to Jesus. It's our responsibility to simply share the good news with them and tell them that victory can be accomplished through what Jesus Christ has done in our lives.
Yeah, there's so many aspects to that analogy of fishing. You're right. We put the bait in the water, right? We can't force the fish to take the bait, but we've got to have a line in the water. But then you can even go further than that, right? I have an uncle that fishes all the time, and I don't fish much, and I used to go with him, and it amazed me how every time we would go, he'd catch four or five fish to my one. He is a good fisherman. There's technique involved, right? There are things that I don't know about fishing, but it's because he's done it for years and does it regularly. And so there is, yes, there's freedom in this. We can't make people accept Jesus, That's responsibility off our shoulders, right? We can't force people to do that. But we need to have our line in the water. And I think there is an aspect to this, too. The more we do it, the better we perfect our technique, for lack of a better word. You're going to get better at it and be more comfortable with it the more you do it. We're doing it in the power of Jesus and dependence on him, but we've got to at least have the line in the water. We've got to at least be willing to invite people to come and see Jesus. And if we don't even have a line in the water, we definitely shouldn't expect for people to come. So there's a connection here between obedience, believing, actually, yes, Jesus, I'm following you, and then actually doing the work of fishing for people. There's a connection between belief and obedience. Roger, what is that all about?
By the way, I want to let you know that this shirt is from the fishing section
there you
of
go.
The sports store.
Another visual illustration.
Yes,
thank you so much, Roger.
The connection of believing and obedience. If we truly believe that Jesus is Lord, that he has all power and authority, that he is at work, if we believe this, and we believe that he has a purpose for us, and we have a calling and a plan, he has a plan for us and a calling for us to share with others, that belief turns into obedience. Our beliefs move into action. I trust, and then I obey even when I have fears. If I believe that, if I have a great belief in Christ, he is my Lord, and then he says, share with people, fish for people, to give their lives to Jesus, then my belief in him leads me to do that and obey it. And I do it in three ways. One, I will do it whether it's hard or whether it's easy for me. Two, I will do it if I understand what's going on or if I don't. Maybe I don't see God working in somebody, but I have to trust that he is doing it, whether I see it or not. And three, I'm to do it whether I like it or don't like it.
Yeah.
He is Lord. That means I obey him. My belief, our belief, leads us to obedience.
Yeah, I think it's no coincidence that you keep coming back in a sense or in some aspect to live, that you're coming back to living in the Spirit again. I mean, you know, because living in the Spirit means I'm living in obedience to Christ. I'm doing what the Spirit tells me to do, and living the way that the Spirit tells me to live, and sharing with people that the Spirit tells me to share with. All of that, all of those aspects, and all of this, you know, again, this is a beautiful picture in these verses of God's plan, and I think, Jim, it speaks pretty directly to our role in all of this. I think Caleb touched on it a little bit, but don't you think this really kind of clarifies our role in fishing for people?
So, as far as talking about going out and fishing, one of the things that I seem to get into conversations that are more one-on-one. Okay, so this is a little abnormal for me. But my gifting, I guess, God puts me in places where it's individual people that I talk with, nobody else around. So when you go and you're fishing, you're like thinking about, okay, how can I start this conversation with this particular person that's here before me? We got to remember something. One, we can't save that person, okay? I can't get a net and hook them in and bring them into the kingdom of God. I can't do that, literally, okay? I can't force it upon them. They're the ones that has to hear the message and accept it. So in helping us and kind of understand that and take some of the pressure off of us, you're like, well, I may not be very good at this, or I don't know exactly how I'm going to be able to say this. One of the things I think about is not just kids or students or adults. It's like, hey, I hear people talk about their friends. And I say, well, you ever had a conversation with your friend about Christ? And they're like, well, no. I'm like, well, do you know if they're saved or not? Well, they go to church. I would assume they do. I'm like, okay, you say this person is your friend. You say this person is your best friend. Have you had that conversation? Just ask them, okay? Mm-hmm. I think about that. It's like, wow, when Jesus comes back for us, it's like, are our friends going with us? Are our best friends going with us? And we need to really take that seriously about having those conversations with just in the immediate circle of friends that we have. If we haven't gotten there, we're neglecting that responsibility to make sure that we are fishing. And I know I'm not a very good fisher when it comes, because he's got a shirt on. Mine's done at Kroger and Publix, okay? Yeah. So it's like, but it's just making that move. Yeah. You know, you may not know what you're going to get into when you do talk with someone, but at least open that door, come back off of that particular conversation, get a little bit better prepared, and then go back in a second time.
Yeah, you know, it's our responsibility to just be willing to go and share. And I genuinely enjoy every day serving alongside each one of these guys, and Melody and Jerry as well, our support staff. One of the reasons that is the case is because we are all very different, right? Jim is a details man. I am not at all. Roger excels not only in leading worship, but one of the things that amazes me about Roger is his ability to just... My kids joke that they're on his sucker list. He has this ability to get people and plug them in to areas of service and finding ways to get them to serve, including our students who are leading worship. Caleb and I probably have some similarities, more so than others, in the fact that neither one of us are very organized as opposed to these guys. We don't understand the administrative people, right? We've got our own little thing going on to where we're lost and they're showing us where to go in some ways. But Caleb, man, his ability to disciple people and to really push some of our students, especially our male students, to begin to lead. And just the differences that exist, but how we all work together. But here's the common ground for us, right? Here's the common ground. We are all called to fish for people. I'm going to do it different than Caleb's going to do it, different than Jim's going to do it, different than Roger's going to do it. We're going to do it differently. The message is the same, but make no mistake, this is God's plan for introducing people to the good news of the gospel. He chooses to send each one of us out to fish for people. Now, you're going to take a handout home with you, all right? I'm not established a details person. I'm not very organized, and a perfect example today is that I forgot to bring the handout up here with me. I should have had Jim do that. He would have remembered that. But there's a handout you're going to get on your way out that's going to give you some questions to explore about this, and I encourage you to take that. Look at it. It's going to expound. It's going to include the verses we use today in our discussion. And it's going to expound on that with some questions, an exercise for you to go through personally. But don't stop there, okay? Go through it individually, and then go through it together. Explore those questions and that information as a family. Or grab your discipleship partner, whoever that is, your accountability partner, and explore those questions together. Don't forget to get that. Our 410 ministry is going to be handing that out on the way out. But let me end with this question. We're going to move into a time of decision in just a moment. This is God's plan, but we have to be willing to participate. This is hard for everybody, all right? It's hard to have conversations about Jesus. It shouldn't be, but it is. It's a difficult task in a lot of ways, but it's our responsibility. We have to be willing to participate. Just like we can't force people to accept Jesus, I cannot force you to go fish for people. Each one of us individually has to make a decision to follow Jesus' instructions here, but then as we're going through our daily lives, be sensitive to the Spirit, attentive to the people that we're talking to, and be willing to jump in and take advantage of those opportunities to turn everyday conversations into gospel conversations. We've talked about a lot of different ways to do that. You're going to find unique ways to do that based on your gifting. All of us are different. All of us in this room are different. We have to be willing to engage in fishing for people. How are you doing in that area? I know I can grow in this area. What are you doing? Are you doing this at all? So during this time of decision that we're about to have, we're gonna sing. I'm gonna have a word of prayer, and then we're gonna sing a song together. I want you to be thinking in your mind about those people you know, or maybe you don't know whether or not they know Jesus. And be thinking about how you're going to engage them this week in a gospel conversation. Think about, are you willing to make the decision to follow Jesus and participate with him in this call to go and fish for people? Thank you guys for joining me today. This has been a blast. And thank you for being willing to just share your hearts and how God is working in your life in these areas. I think it would be great if we just kind of concluded our time talking and moved into our time of decision with prayer. Father, thank